The Trump administration says it will hand out $4.7 billion to U.S. farmers to help offset tariffs from foreign countries. In response to President Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum, China, Mexico, Canada, the European Union, and others followed suit with tariffs on soybeans, pork, apples, and dairy products. In July, the U.S. Department of Agriculture said it would provide farmers up to $12 billion in aid. This week, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue said that the $4.7 billion would soften the blow to farmers as Trump works to improve trade deals. He added that farmers, quote, cannot pay their bills with simple patriotism. Mike North is the president and founder of the Platteville-based Commodity Risk Management Group. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be joining you.
Which agricultural products are the focus of this $4.7 billion in aid?
I think you can actually say product. The real weight was put on soybeans. And obviously, as you look at the conversation that has been looming since spring, a lot of the talk has centered on China. And most of the retaliation that we've seen from China has been, from an agricultural perspective, on soybeans. So that's exactly where the focus of this new aid package is. And when you look at how the payouts are structured, soybean farmers stand to receive $1.65 per bushel on all of their expected bushels for this year, but then they have trimmed that back and will only make a payment on 50% of that total amount, and they're reserving dollars that could then be paid if a second wave of payments is slated for another period of time down the road.
And how big a business are soybeans here in Wisconsin?
Soybeans are a growing crop in the state. They're one of our largest. Functionally, they serve a great purpose in our crop rotation. They've also been a great value add for farmers. Bottom line is that Wisconsin, like many of the Midwestern states, have brought soybeans in on a 50-50 rotation with corn. So many grain farmers, where corn was planted last year, there'll be soybeans planted this year.
And are a lot of those soybeans that are planted and grown in Wisconsin then sent for export?
Most of them. We don't have much by way of processing here in the state, so a lot of the soybeans eventually work their way into the river system, find their way to the Gulf via barge, and then are loaded on ocean-going vessels and sent around the world. And if you put everything in perspective, that's true of most of the soybeans in our country. One way, shape, or form, more than 50% of the soybeans that are grown in the United States leave the United States, and China is our biggest buyer of those.
So the soybean producers are getting the lion's share of this support, but not all of it. Are there other products that are at least getting something in this package?
There is. So when you look at the numbers, by the numbers, the total that you mentioned earlier was $4.7 billion. And that's the total number that's being put forward in one piece of this aid package. And the particular piece you were referencing was the Market Facilitation Program. The $4.7 billion is allocated among a number of different crops, seven to be precise. $3.6 billion of that goes to soybeans. So you can see the weighting here. Three-quarters of that money is going towards soybeans. But you're seeing 6 cents a pound go to cotton. You're seeing $8 a head go to pork. You're seeing sorghum get 86 cents a bushel. Wheat get 14 cents a bushel. Dairy's getting 12 cents per hundredweight. And then corn is receiving the most laughable amount, which is 1 penny per bushel.
So, Mike, what are your overall impressions of this federal assistance?
So I think they've gone a long way to make sure that those who are growing soybeans this year are going to be helped by this $1.65 that they're proposing. Bear in mind, again, that you first are going to take the total dollars and cut them in half right away, right? Secondly, the payment limitations that have been in place with other programs are still in force, so $125,000 per individual or entity. And then, of course, you have to not have an AGI of greater than 900,000, and you have to also comply with the highly erodible land and wetland conservation regs. But ultimately, you know, soybeans are going to see what I would call a good payment representative of what the market lost. Beyond that, though, the amounts are too scarce to really do anything with. I mean, corn, for example. Corn is equal in terms of acreage around this country. Bottom line is, at a penny a bushel, the government's going to spend more money in administering the program than what farmers are going to ultimately ever get from it. A penny a bushel is it's almost a slap in the face, really, because while soybeans lost $2 in the market move lower, corn lost 80 cents. And so their move was large enough to warrant a much bigger payment than a penny. Milk is the same story, right? We saw milk prices move from $17 at their peak prior to the announcement of the tariffs, and that would be for fall months yet in the 2018 calendar. And then we watched those markets drift all the way down to levels below $15 as we were coming through the summer. Markets have rebounded since, but nonetheless, as we talk about the initial impact of the tariffs, and if this program is designed to try to offset them, then functionally 12 cents a hundredweight doesn't do very much to ultimately help farmers. Moreover, when you talk about the milk market, unlike some of these other commodities where I have the choice in whether to sell my crop today or wait for a period of time, dairymen don't have that luxury. Their milk goes to town every single day. It's marketed and sold every single day, and they're paid based on those sales every single day. Bottom line is, they ended up having to sell at the lowest of lows. So the 12 cents really does very little. And in a state like Wisconsin, where dairy is our bread and butter, so to speak, it doesn't go very far. To put it in perspective, dairymen spend 10 cents a hundredweight on every hundredweight that they produce to go towards their marketing checkoff, which is dollars that are allocated to promote the consumption of dairy. So 12 cents, when you then take 50% of that, doesn't even cover the money they're already sending to the government in the first place.
Mike North is the president and founder of the Platteville-based Commodity Risk Management Group. We're talking about the $4.7 billion aid package that the federal government is promising for farmers who are being affected by retaliatory tariffs. And Mike, the Agriculture Department promised $12 billion in aid this summer. Where is the other $7.5 billion?
Well, so here's always the interesting thing about announcements like that. They said they were going to make available $12 billion. They did not necessarily say they were going to spend or allocate all $12 billion. So what we're seeing is roughly half of that coming out in the form of three different programs. Now, we've spent our time so far talking about the market facilitation program. So this is a direct payment to farmers. But there's also two other programs. One of them is going to be food purchases. And when you look at the breakdown, and there's a whole laundry list of different products that the government's going to buy, it accounts for another $1.239 billion. And that's split across a very diverse mix of different commodities, fruits, livestock, et cetera. There's lots of different things that they intend to buy. And then the third is a program that they call the Agricultural Trade Promotion Program. And this is ultimately designed to try to promote trade in other environments with new partners, with different countries. And this will go towards, you know, market research, technical assistance, you know, point of sale demonstrations. So some of this will be even spent domestically. That program allocation is about $200 million. So it's the smallest of the three. But when you put it all together, you have about $6 billion of the initial 12 that was made available. Now, keep in mind, we've mentioned that there could be another payment made at a later time. And so my speculation is that the government, if these trade conversations continue to linger, if we still can't get a deal done with Mexico, which we're, you know, hopeful that could be coming maybe as soon as this weekend, together with some talks with Canada, if we don't get anything done, they would have the capacity, I believe, to come back and allocate that next $6 billion for another program. Maybe it looks slightly different in the mix, but another round of payments that would come back for producers along these very same lines.
One quick question before we move on to those international trade negotiations. Mike, if we look at the portion of this that is buying up excess commodities, are the same producers going to benefit as the ones getting the direct aid, or will that spread the help around a little more?
So that program is much more diverse, and when you look at the list, you see things like blueberries and cranberries and apricots and grapefruits and hazelnuts and macadamia nuts and navy beans, right? So it's a much broader list than what we saw in those initial direct payments. And, you know, the reality is that trade impacts all of these environments. But when we talk about some of the initial retaliation that was made, it targeted certain commodities. So I believe when the USDA put together their list of dollars to be allocated, they kind of went top down with some of the highest targeted commodities that were being used as a retaliatory feature, and that's where the biggest payments were. And then as we saw the ripple of some of these retaliatory effects, we're going into other markets to create some offsets there as well.
We're talking about this week's announcement from the USDA that it will provide farmers with $4 billion in aid to help offset the cost of retaliatory tariffs imposed by other countries. Mike North is our guest. He's the president and founder of the Platteville-based Commodity Risk Management Group. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you're a farmer, is this federal assistance welcome news, or is it not nearly enough? How badly have you been hurt by tariffs from China, Mexico, Canada, the EU, and elsewhere? Are you hopeful this will all lead to better trade deals in the end? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time. We're continuing our discussion on the $4.7 billion aid package from the USDA to go to farmers affected by retaliatory tariffs. Mike North is the president and founder of Commodity Risk Management Group in Platteville. And you can weigh in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to this federal assistance? If you're a farmer, what else do you need? And are you willing to tolerate short-term pain for the potential of better trade deals? How hopeful are you about the proposed new trade agreement with Mexico and Canada? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's go to the phones, and Stan in Hales Corners is up. Hi, Stan.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I want to know why me as a taxpayer is supposed to, this $12 billion, $4.5 billion is coming from somewhere. It's coming from me and other people like me. Why am I supposed to pay that to the farmers? I know the farmers are hurting, but when I look at the polls at the end of in 2016 and after the election, the farmers voted for the Trump administration to get in office. Why aren't they taking the suffering just like for who they voted for? This is the policy they voted for.
Thanks for that call, Stan. And Mike, what would your response be?
I guess my response would be fairly simple. The reality is that the tariff conversation revolves around an effort that's looking at trade more broadly, and the goal being to create opportunities across the board for all industries. And when China came back, and we saw this of Mexico too, and to a lesser extent from Canada, they came back with a retaliatory package that was aimed I would say, very strategically at the agriculture industry, because as the caller pointed out, there were a lot of farmers that did vote for Trump, and I would go so far as to say that rural America was really what pushed Trump's win over the edge. So they came right at his supporters and hit him where it hurt. So when you look at the list of items that China pushed back on, they did it from a very political standpoint, with the goal of endangering and harming a particular industry.
Let's go back to the phones, and Jerry in Ripon is up. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. My question is, I have beans stored from the 2017 harvest. I had them for sale at $10.01 a bushel at Ripon, and they never hit that target. What do I do in this compensation plan, being that they're last year's beans stored for sale, and typically sell in June or July?
And these are soybeans, right, Jerry?
Yes, soybeans.
All right. Mike, what would you say to Jerry? What options does he have?
Well, the reality is there's another crop coming, and so the soybeans that you're carrying are something that probably aren't going to gain a whole lot of added value. We've told our clients to be aggressive with making sales against 17. Frankly, we've been out of them for a while, but in your particular case, carrying them is going to be a very, very tough proposition. So in light of the fact that you are going to get, you know, what really adds up to about 82.5 cents, once you look at the 50% factor, I'd be looking at that as your offset to unload the soybeans and get rid of them. Because frankly, when you look at the softer price, some of that has to do with tariff right now, but a lot of that right now simply is a function of big inventories of soybeans, and looking out forward, there's going to be a lot of continued pressure in our market.
Let's go back to the phones, and Ted in Johnstown is up. Hi, Ted.
Hi.
Go ahead.
My biggest concern about this whole thing is all this money that Trump's going to do, or whoever's going to do, is going to go to the big corporate farms. Small family farms aren't going to get it.
And we're running a little short on time. I want to make sure that Mike can respond. So, Mike, Ted is saying he thinks it's going to go to the big farms that maybe have a little more to get them through these times, and the small farms are going to really struggle. Do you feel like the system where it's set up on a per bushel or per head basis, is that making it a fairer equation?
Actually, it's working just the opposite. By putting in the $125,000 cap on a per unit basis, the larger farms stand to receive less than the smaller farms. So frankly, on a bushel by bushel basis, everyone gets the same, but when you hit that 125, you're out. You're done. So the bigger you are, the less you stand to gain.
All right. Thanks for that call, Ted. In a phone call Monday with Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto, President Trump announced a preliminary trade deal with Mexico that calls for zero tariffs on dairy and agricultural products. He predicted it would be a big winner for the U.S. Let's take a listen.
Our farmers are going to be so happy. You know, the farmers have stuck with me. I said we were going to do this. And Mexico's promised to immediately start purchasing as much farm product as they can. They're going to work on that very hard.
Mike, how optimistic are you about the potential there?
I think the Mexican deal looks very solid, and the fact that they are considering some concessions on geographical indicators for us, and the fact that Mexico has been a longstanding partner of ours on a trade, agricultural trade basis, this is very, very good news for all of agriculture. I think beyond that, though, since the automotive trade is the biggest piece, it's what Mexico and U.S. trade back and forth the most. The fact that they're calling for increases in wages for Mexican workers also, I believe, stands to help the agriculture industry, largely because as people have more available dollars in their pocket, It's a trend that's been observed across the world. The first thing they do is improve their diet, and protein is the first thing they seek out. So whether you're talking pork or you're talking dairy proteins by the way of powder or cheese or whey or what have you, there's room for added growth there. And with Mexico being our largest trade partner on the ag side and our fastest growing partner on the ag side, that really is making all of agriculture smile right now.
And also, of course, Canada, a very big trade partner, and for Wisconsin especially, and the Trump administration is hoping that Canada will make its decision about staying within this new NAFTA by tomorrow because of some other pressures. So we will certainly be watching that. Mike, thank you so much for joining us and bringing us up to speed.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Mike North is the president and founder of the Platteville-based Commodity Risk Management Group. We talked with him about the $4.7 billion in federal aid for farmers who've been hurt by retaliatory tariffs from other countries. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, bone marrow transplants have been used to treat leukemia and other deadly diseases for 50 years now. We'll find out about the deep Wisconsin roots of that life-saving procedure. And we'll look at news that the federal watchdog in charge of student loans has resigned, saying that he couldn't do the job he was supposed to protect students from predatory lenders. That and more tomorrow on Central Time.